Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's a Friday night. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday. At this time, we do a radio show live or replay with great friends of ours. They run HarshmanTravel.com. So if you go to HarshmanTravel.com, you'll be able to see some of the things we're referencing right over here. But the way this whole thing got started is many years ago, Pam Harshman was a customer of ours, and I was always very respectful, if you will, of the types of things that she did and the person she was and the businesses that she built. And she was a customer, like I said, of ours. And when I was doing Building Fortunes Radio, I decided that, you know, I'm going to need some really great guest hosts. People will be looking up to us for some advice to be able to maybe follow different people in different positions. And I asked Pam to be on Building Fortunes Radio, and she kind of kindly informed me that she was not going to be doing the traditional MLM types of things anymore. She was going to go into becoming a travel agent, and Ron Harshman, her husband, was going to be joining her in this endeavor. And I said to myself, well, I really still need and want good guest hosts, and, you know, I'm pretty good at putting some things together. So I said, you know, people that do home-based businesses, they're people too. They like to travel. Travel many times is on people's wish lists, their goals lists, and all of those types of things. So I can't imagine anybody better than you and Ron doing the Harshman Travel Radio Show. So we started doing this. It's one of our longest-running radio shows, but I know who they are. You may be a new listener, and you may not. So I wanted you to have the same confidence in their background as I did. So we do introductions first. We go ladies first, Pam goes first, Ron comes second. I do a commercial break, and then Ron comes back and gives us the good news that's happening in the travel industry. So as we had mentioned, Pam, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Hey, Peter. It's nice being here again. It's always nice to look forward to Friday nights and hear your wonderful voice. And you're right, it has been many, many years. I have lost count. But we do date back a few.
It's like we've turned the decade, I think, over.
The older I get, the more I'm intent on not counting.
Right, I hear you.
Yep. Anyway, a little bit about my background is I started my working years as a 911 dispatcher up in the Pacific Northwest, and slow but sure worked myself up into court administration and did that for many, many years. Absolutely loved my job and thoroughly enjoyed it. However, I met my husband, who lived down in sunny Florida, kitty corner across the country, and eventually I ended up moving down here to be with him. And once down here, I did not want to start down at the bottom of the ladder or anywhere close to it, so I ended up looking for something that would allow me to work much more independently and hopefully from home. Ended up getting my realtor's license followed by my broker's license and sold real estate in South Florida for several years. Just wasn't my niche, so I got my life and health insurance license and sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. Loved that job, absolutely loved it. It was very rewarding. I sold the Medicare supplements, and to me it was a final decision that seniors had to make about their health care, which was one of the most important things, because as they grew older, it was something that they had to really make a decision on that was a matter of life and death, really. And so it was a very important decision for them to make, and it was important for me to give them the correct information for them to make that decision. But what was so fun about it was that I never knew what I was walking into when I went to their homes. Is sometimes it would be just a single person or a couple, but other times it would be a whole room full of ladies that we'd end up having, you know, almost like a tea party, and other times it would be several couples, and it was, you know, even a sit-down potluck dinners, and, you know, it was just fun. So one day when I was heading out on my travels, I ended up getting a phone call from a girlfriend of mine that out of the blue, she just asked if Ron and I had ever thought of becoming travel agents. And, you know, it just kind of took me aback because it had not even been a week since Ron and I were talking and comparing our bucket lists and, you know, where do you want to go? What's your priority on your bucket list? And, you know, well, what's yours? And we were empty nester baby boomers, and we had some disposable income, and basically we could make our own schedule, so it was, you know, prime time for us to be traveling. So when she said that, I could not wait to get home and talk to Ron, and once I did, we started checking things out on the internet and doing some research, and when we came to the decision that we were going to move forward, we jumped in with both feet and got all the training that we could possibly get our hands on, and then all the proper licensures, and moved forward and ended up doing a whole lot more traveling than we probably would have done otherwise. And so it's been a win-win situation for us all the way around. And at the same time, you know, as you had mentioned earlier, I had also been dabbling in the home-based businesses and had some MLMs and stuff that I had been involved in that were dangling in front of my eyes on my Facebook news feed, and that's how we had met. So it was we'd been friends for a long time anyway, so that's how it came about with the radio show, and it just, everything just kind of worked and jived all the way around, and here we are. So it just, it's been a real good go for us. That was until COVID hit, and that just kind of screwed everything up.
That's it.
But we're back.
Excellent. Okay, good. And then, Ron, over to you.
All righty. Thanks, Peter. Good to be with you again. My background is very different from Pam's. I spent many, many years as a licensed clinical psychologist, very involved, obviously, in my own clinical work, my clinical practice, but I also chose to become very involved in the self-regulatory aspect of the profession. When I first got involved, a good friend of mine, a mentor, suggested that it would be good for me to get involved in the provincial association and see a lot of stuff that most professionals never come in contact with, regardless of the profession, whether it's law, medicine, you know, dentistry, anything. Most professionals get involved in their professional association. They maybe attend an annual convention, but that's the extent to which they know about it. And what I found getting involved in the self-regulatory aspect ended up sitting on the board of directors, sitting on several ethics committees, professional affairs committees, etc., and really got to see the underpinnings of how things really work, and unfortunately also how some so-called professionals choose to go through their practice, and particularly sitting on the ethics committee, it just sometimes blew my mind to see what some people were capable of doing. In any event, I got involved initially with the Provincial Association of Psychologists and got on to their board of directors. I was fortunate enough, once I got involved in the National Association, to be elected as chair of the Applied Division of the Canadian Psychological Association, and sat on their board of directors, and as I say, many of the subcommittees, etc. Felt good about my ability to give back and to really be involved and to participate in, at least to some extent, in the spearheading of where the profession was going. At the end of my career, I was very, very fortunate to have been elected as a lifetime honorary fellow of the Canadian Psychological Association, and certainly was very honored with that election and very, very thankful for it. In my own clinical training, I was very fortunate, both in my undergraduate and graduate years, to have a number of professors who made a very strong point of the fact that if we ever thought of going into private practice, before we did that, it would be extremely important to get as much varied clinical experience as we could, working with different clinical populations and seeing different life situations, struggles that people were going through, because they made the very valid point that when you go into private practice, you hang up your shingle, you start seeing patients, but you really don't have a whole lot of say over who's going to make an appointment to come and see you, what their problem is, what their life struggle is, and if you have no idea of what they're going through, these professors made a very valid point that you can end up doing a lot more harm than good. And I took that advice very much to heart and made the decision, a very conscientious decision, that even in my undergraduate years, I would try to get positions working for as many of the social service delivery systems as possible, so that I would have that very varied clinical experience and be able to take any patient and know that I was knowledgeable enough with what they were facing to be able to be of help to them. So I spent many, many years in a lot of the different fields and really felt good about what I did and felt good about being able to give back. When Pam and I got together, we hadn't been together that long. When we decided to semi-retire, we moved from East Florida over to Southwest Florida. We started raising alpacas. As Pam indicated, she started to get involved with home-based businesses, multi-level marketing. And although I wasn't involved in any of that, I was very supportive of her doing it. But when she came home and said she really wanted us to talk seriously about the possibility of becoming professional travel consultants, it was something that grabbed both of us. From my perspective, I really looked at it and said, you know, I spent my whole professional career working with people, working with families, helping people go through situations, make decisions, but it was always dealing with stressful life situations. And I realized that as a travel consultant, I could be doing very similar things, doing the same kind of thing, but rather than stressful life situations, I would be dealing with positive and exciting life situations, couples planning weddings or anniversaries, multi-generational family vacations, retirement parties, etc. So the concept, the idea of becoming a professional travel consultant was very, very appealing. We made the decision if we were going to do it, we would do it the right way. We would get all the available training and also, obviously, all of the necessary and appropriate licensure. And on top of that, we made the commitment that we would spend the time and the energy really doing the research to find those travel vendors that we would feel comfortable working with and supporting and recommending. And we did that, and it really has worked out in a very, very positive way. As Pam indicated, when COVID hit, it really kind of threw a kink in the works. In my personal opinion, I really saw the, in particular, the U.S. government trying to cripple for life the travel industry, and in particular, the cruise industry. And I was very, very impressed with the fortitude and the strong commitment that I saw evidenced from pretty much every one of the cruise companies to do what they had to do to get along with the government and to implement those strategies and rules and regs that they were being forced to do. But also, they made the commitment to do whatever was necessary, incur whatever debt was necessary to keep their plans alive and to weather the storm with the firm commitment that eventually they would be able to come out of the COVID fiasco bigger and better than ever before. And you and I talked about that many, many times on this radio show. And as I've said the last several weeks, Peter, we really do deserve to pat each other on the back because our prognostications about what would happen eventually in terms of the cruise industry in particular coming back bigger and better than ever before, those prognostications have proven to be 100% accurate. And we now see more and more people choosing to vacation by going on a cruise. We see the cruise industry really expanding, and all of the things that we thought were going to happen slowly but surely are unfolding. And this week is not going to be any different. I have a number of really important announcements to make, and we'll talk about those after the break.
Excellent. Okay, good. So we're going to be right back after this little commercial break. If you go to harshmantravel.com, you'll be able to see the website. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we are back. Peter Mingles here with Pam and Ron Harshman. Ron's going to cover some of the new things that are happening in the travel industry. So, Ron, over to you.
All righty. Thanks, Peter. Last week, I had talked about the fact that Royal Caribbean had a couple of ships in Israel scheduled to do some cruises, and they had to cancel those cruises because of the unimaginable goings-on in Israel. And I was very concerned about that, but realized that, that was just one of the many negative offshoots. But I was not aware and just became aware of the fact that with Royal Caribbean, with their ships being in Israel, they were contacted by the U.S. State Department and agreed to make their ships available to safely evacuate Americans from Israel. And I got notice from the president and CEO of the Royal Caribbean Group saying that based on an incredible effort, the Rhapsody of the Seas did help to evacuate Americans from Israel. And he made the comment, I wanted to share with you that overnight, Sunday into Monday, Rhapsody of the Seas began partnering with the U.S. Department of State to help safely evacuate Americans from Israel. As you know, the ship had been sailing in the region and then canceled its sailings when the conflict emerged last weekend. Now, with enhanced safety precautions in place, our ship is providing free passage, including accommodation and food, for Americans in the region wishing to leave and find safer ground. And he just made the announcement that they were taking people to Cyprus, and obviously from Cyprus the people were going to be getting additional help from the State Department in terms of being able to do their onward travel back home. But again, an example of how the cruise industry never fails to do what they can to assist the areas where they are venturing, the people, the economy, etc. And it just was very, very heartwarming to realize that although the ships were there to take people on cruises, when that became an impossible situation, they turned around and free of charge took hundreds of people, American citizens who wanted to leave Israel and go to a safer place, took them at no charge to Cyprus and worked with the Department of State to make that happen. So very, very important announcement, and certainly deserving lots of kudos. Other than that, we had a number of announcements in terms of expansions. Carnival Cruise Line announced that they are really expanding their offerings in Europe, starting with the summer of 2025. They will have 16 cruises during the summer, departing from three home ports across Europe: Lisbon, Portugal, Dover, London, UK, and Rome, Italy. And these are going to be different length cruises, but they are going to really expand the presence of Carnival throughout Europe. In addition, during the 25-26 year, they are going to be increasing the number of cruises going out of Miami, Tampa, Port Canaveral, and New Orleans, and they are going to be having an additional 100 cruises that will be stopping at their brand-new Celebration Key, which is their exclusive land development in the Bahamas. So very good to see them expanding, and as I've said before, they're not only expanding the number of ships, the number of ports, but they are really working hard, and this applies to all the different cruise lines, really working hard coming up with brand new itineraries, brand new ports of call, and really making the availability of cruise vacations much more tempting and much more exciting for people who choose to take that kind of a vacation. Nassau Cruise Port has seen a big increase in passenger numbers from 2022. They have exceeded over 3 million passengers, by September, that number was 3,224,210 cruise passengers that had visited the Nassau cruise port during that time. And the port expects to welcome 4.2 million passengers for the year 2023, by December. And again, we're seeing one more port that is expanding and really being supported by the cruise industry. Port Canaveral this week announced that they are expecting a record offering during the 2024-2025 winter season. They are going to have more of different brands of cruise ships, and they are also now situated in a way where they can accommodate some of the larger ships. So just to quickly go over the list, Carnival Cruise Lines will be going to the Bahamas, Western, Eastern, and Southern Caribbean. Royal Caribbean International will also be going to the Bahamas, Western, Eastern, and Southern Caribbean. Disney Cruise Lines will be going out of there, Bahamas, Western, and Eastern Caribbean. Norwegian Cruise Line will be going with Western and Eastern Caribbean. MSC will be going to the Bahamas and the Western Caribbean. And Celebrity, which is part of Royal Caribbean, will be doing both the Western and Eastern Caribbean. And Princess Cruises, not to be left out, another Carnival subsidiary, will also be doing the Western and Eastern Caribbean. So we are really seeing Port Canaveral expanding and doing everything that they can to catch up and, in their eyes, hopefully surpass what's been happening and what has been the proud domain of the Port of Miami. So they're in a neck-and-neck race right now. Costa Cruise Lines announced, that's one of the Carnival subsidiaries, announced that in 2024-2025, they will be deploying three ships in South America. And again, brand new itineraries, Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, and they will be doing short cruises as well as longer cruises. And again, they are planning for 24-25, and these cruises are already available for booking. I've made the comment several times before that it's really interesting to see that the cruise lines are being so bombarded with reservations that they are already booking much further into the future than has been the norm over the past 10 years or so. So it's nice to see that increase. Norwegian Cruise Lines announced that after a three-year hiatus, they are returning to Asia, and they will be having an extensive six-month season in that region. 16 different itineraries, visiting 11 different countries, and the itineraries are ranging in length from 10 days, featuring overnights and destinations in Thailand, Japan, Indonesia, and they will really be expanding, again, their different itineraries and the length of time that they will be in these different places. Virgin Islands Port Authority announced this week that they have received approval to move forward with the expansion of their cruise ports in both St. Croix and St. Thomas. And this is a big, important announcement because that whole area is being expanded in terms of places to visit, the different land excursions that are being arranged by the different cruise lines that are sailing and traveling in that area, in that part of the Caribbean. And it's nice to see that the government in the U.S. Virgin Islands has passed the legislation allowing the increase in those ports of call to handle the expected increase in business that they will be seeing. On the ecology aspect, we've seen a number of announcements last week. MSC Cruises signed an agreement with Shell Western LNG to provide liquefied natural gas for some of their ships. And this is part of their goal of getting to net zero greenhouse gas emissions by the year 2050. And they are moving in that direction with that particular announcement. They have been honored, MSC Cruises has also been honored with the Green Marine Europe certification. They are the first major cruise line to achieve this honor, and it represents environmental excellence and leadership. So the fact that they are really working to meet their ambitious goal of zero emissions by 2050, that is certainly being acknowledged and rewarded by the powers that be. So that was nice to see. At the same time, Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings announced the same commitment of net zero emissions by 2050, and they are similarly working on different technologies for different kinds of fuel, and they are making the point that if they are going to meet their goal of zero emissions by 2050, any of the new ships that are coming on board are going to have to be engineered in a way to handle the new methods of movement, and they are really committed to doing that. So we are seeing a number of cruise lines moving to the liquid gas and other types of propelled motion. So good to see. And again, as I've said before, what we are seeing, not just here in the U.S. or the Northern Hemisphere, but worldwide, the acceptance of cruising, the expansion of cruises in various areas, and the movement on the part of governments to allow and encourage the cruise industry through the provision of better and bigger ports of call, and the cruise lines are doing their best to just make things bigger and better as we go. So again, with all of the itineraries that are coming out and being posted for 24, 25, 25, 26, I would encourage anybody who's listening who is even thinking of the possibility of a cruise vacation to get in touch with us. Let us do the research. You tell us where you are thinking of going and when you might be able to go. Let us do the research and find the best offers out there for you. And as I've said over and over again, it is totally, you have to be brain dead to not realize that if you want to take advantage of these special offers, you can go ahead, make a small deposit, pay off the bill at your leisure, at your schedule, the way you want to. If you're able to go ahead with your plans, you've secured a great vacation for a great cost. If for any reason things don't materialize the way you were hoping and you have to cancel, as long as you cancel before the final payment due date, any money that you have put forward is 100% refundable to you, so you've really lost nothing, and hopefully at some future point you will be able to make those dreams come true.
Well, excellent news. I wouldn't have expected anything other than the cruise industry to help out during the tragedy that's happening right now in the wartime situations. So it's amazing, and the idea that they do it either at a reduced cost or for free or make themselves available, it's just amazing. So just it's one of these industries that is not going to let the population down. So unlike other industries, you know, it's really startling and amazing. So having said that, for those people that are looking to book a cruise, make sure you check out Harshman Travel, harshmantravel.com. Ask Ron for, you know, where's the best deals, or Pam the same thing, and all of those questions or concerns you might have about, you know, what might happen if this happens or that happens, make sure you get those questions answered as well. And one thing that you'll find is that the cruise industry isn't going to mess around with you, so it'll be, you know, you'll be in a good position. So, Ron, I'll let you close it up. Thanks for being here.
All righty. Thank you, Peter, again. Please reach out to us. Go to harshmantravel.com. You can send us an email. You can call us on our 800 number. As Pam and I have repeated several times on the radio show, in contrast with a lot of the other travel consultants out there, we have made the firm commitment not to charge people to do the research. We're here to help you, and if we can help you make your cruise vacations come true, it's a win-win situation for us. So take advantage, and we hope to be able to help you make your cruise vacation dreams come true. Have a good
Excellent.
Week,
everybody. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks.
Have a good week.
Care.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.